This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. And as I mentioned before we went to the news, joining us now, Senator Katie Britt. Good to get you back on the show, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I appreciate it.
And appreciate you coming on and want to get commentary here from you from what happened yesterday. Now, we've been going through the calls and texts from people and the emails of listeners here, how they feel about it. First of all, and you can talk about it as a senator, but before that, just Katie Britt, talk about it. Your reaction to, I mean, all 34 counts he was found guilty on. Heck, I think, you know, there's mob trials where at least they don't get a couple of them. You know, they're like, yeah, well, these charges they didn't get, but the other 30 hit. Every one of them.
Every one of them. And Sean, I mean, honestly, as an American, I'm just sad. We look at other countries, as, you know, third world countries who go after political opponents, who prosecute those who don't, you know, think like them. And you think, well, that's, you know, that's a banana republic. We're a constitutional republic. I mean, we've shown over the span of this that our nation is becoming no better. And I believe that we are better. I believe that we will be better. But this type of stuff, having two tiers of justice, just has to stop. And if, as an American, you think if they will come after a former president of the United States of America, and they'll come after him with a charge that, Sean, you know, obviously both the FEC and DOJ declined to prosecute, a charge that, you know, had run the statute of limitations. If they'll come after a charge of which they're saying, oh, there's an underlying crime, but we haven't proved an underlying crime, but you get to pick what that is. When you look at that, those stretches, you look at the judge who obviously had not only given to Biden, but whose family has financial interest in the opposite politics than President Trump. When you look at that and you think they'll come after him, you know that they'll come after us. And so we've seen with this administration, and honestly, I mean, Sean, just take a step back. Like, go back to when the Dobbs opinion was leaked. Okay, when the Dobbs opinion was leaked, we saw people begin to protest and picket outside of our Supreme Court justices' homes. And I exposed in a hearing with the Attorney General, with Merrick Garland, that they had actually discouraged. He had said, we're not making any prosecutions in those because there were no arrests. Well, we exposed that this administration actually gave, you know, put up slides with all the U.S. Marshals, went, you know, had them sit down and actually actively discouraged them from making arrests, from actually enforcing 1507. You look at what we've done to, you know, parents who've spoken up at school boards and seeing that they've been targeted by DOJ. You look at what happened in the impending or the impeachment trial that never actually got to happen because Chuck Schumer shut it down. He decided he was going to play top politics instead of letting the facts be assessed and letting America see what's going on at the border and letting us make that determination of whether or not the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, should be impeached. I mean, we saw them play games with it. And then you look at this, and I just, as an American, this is a sad day. And I think you just think if they'll come after someone like this, they'll come after any of us. And I think we have to work diligently to change that dynamic, work diligently to restore people's confidence in our judicial system. I mean, it is one of, obviously, the foundational building blocks of our nation. And to me, we have exposed a fundamental crack in what is occurring, and it is one that we cannot let sit there. We've got to fill that crack. We have got to create another, we've got to create a firm foundation because people having faith in our justice system is a critical component to the success of this nation.
I want to come right back to that, but for an aside, though, you mentioned something that it's not every day I have a senator on with me. Did we find the leaker in the Dobbs leak? Remember, they were going to find the leaker and prosecute him? Remember that, where they were going to get right on that?
Exactly, Sean, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, people can see this. People can see that you're treated differently depending on whether you have a D or an R beside your name or whether your agenda links up with the liberal agenda or not. And if that had been anyone else, I mean, you know, that is a small universe of people who had access to that opinion before it was leaked. It is a small universe. So I feel like if we can track down terrorists in underground tunnels in the Middle East, I feel real confident that in 2024 we can figure out who in the United States Supreme Court building leaked that opinion. But the truth is, that's just it. They don't want to do that. Let's take another example. Look at what's happening on college campuses. In this nation, we have anti-Semitism running rampant. We have our Jewish brothers and sisters who are afraid to go to class or sleep in their dorms or walk outside. That is disgusting and despicable. And look, I had the Secretary of Education in front of us, and I said, why are you not enforcing Title VI? I mean, we know how this works. We know what you should be doing, and you're refusing to actually do it. He said, we're investigating. This has been going on and since right after October 7th. So, I mean, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, you could just turn on your TV and know that these students are fearing for their safety and their life, but yet this administration won't do and say what it needs to. And like I said, look, we know in the state of Alabama that discriminating based on race, you know, blocking people from classrooms, that wasn't okay in the 1960s, Sean, and it is not okay now. And the fact that this administration cannot unequivocally say that just shows you that they are viewing every single thing through the lens of politics, through the lens of power, and not as what is best for the American people. And I think that means we have to speak up, we have to vote, we have to work harder, and we have to build stronger coalitions, because honestly, November is huge for the future of this nation. If we want stable prices, safe streets, stronger family units, and we want our allies to respect us and our enemies to fear us, there is one choice in November. It is President Trump. It is a Republican Senate, and we need a Republican House. So there is a lot at stake. I mean, and I think the stakes have really never been higher. We saw that yesterday. And then if you look even a day before that, Sean, look at what the Ayatollah did. I mean, you and I could talk. I mean, do you see how much material we have here? The Ayatollah yes. coming out and saying, I stand with, you know, the brave students and their professors. I mean, and the Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, the supreme leader of Iran, the largest state sponsor of terrorists, Iran, who funds Hamas in Gaza, who funds the Houthis, he funds Hezbollah. That guy who said it is not just a death to America is not just a slogan. It is a policy. And he is cheering the left. If Democrats are not taking a step back and going, what have we done? This is too much. I don't know when the lights will go on for them.
Senator, you're talking about, this got me onto this, just talking about the selection of what is happening from this administration based on the politics, right? And you can say what President Biden is doing or not doing with Israel is probably based a lot on what happens, they think will happen in November. On the other side of that, as we look at the half a world away stuff, the story came out, I think, as Politico had, Biden secretly gave Ukraine permission to strike inside Russia with U.S. weapons. With that... and I'll say it, proxy war that we're engaged in there. Where do you see that going? I mean, do you see decisions being based on November by what this administration is doing with in account to Ukraine, or do you think there's something else to that?
You know, look, the way that this administration has handled Putin's aggression from the very beginning is something that has not only frustrated me as an American, but has given me great pause, because there were times where, you know, there had already been the proper votes, all the things to send weaponry to Ukraine, and yet this administration continued to drag its feet. And so all of the things don't add up. You look at, like, also when you think about energy and what we're doing in this nation, you know, this administration, for whatever reason, has a war on energy here in our homeland. And it is my opinion that we should not only just be energy independent, we should actually be energy dominant. But when you do that, when you go to war with energy here in America, and by the way, I believe we can produce energy cleaner, better, and more efficiently than anywhere else on the planet, you actually give Russia the upper hand. And so, because you allow them to hold our allies in the palm of their hand when it comes to natural gas, and you look at what it means for Iran, you look at the sanctions that they're refusing to enforce on Iran and yet allowing them to expire at the same time that they are placing sanctions on Israeli citizens. I mean, it's just, none of it adds up. I mean, this, except for the fact, I think what we keep coming back to is that this administration has a doctrine of appeasement that doesn't work, and they exhibit weakness at every single turn. And I'll tell you, Sean, I've had an opportunity to travel and meet with leaders of other countries on behalf of the United States, talk to them about things that we need to be partnering on, talking about different things. And the one thing that I walk away from every single conversation with is that people no longer respect us. They no longer fear us. And that is completely and totally a result. And they don't trust us either. And that is a complete and total result of Joe Biden being in the White House. So I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, obviously, he's holding up, you know, or held up weaponry to Israel. And then, you know, you're hearing all this other stuff he's doing. He's meeting with Xi Jinping, you know, essentially skipping through a garden in San Francisco. They, you know, clearly finally decided to clean it up for Xi Jinping's appearance. But Xi Jinping tells him it's not an if, but a when I take Taiwan. And then you look at this administration, you look at what he's doing. When he proposed his budget, which, by the way, President Biden proposed his budget, Sean, a month late, and he actually, the things that he's cutting, Department of Defense, the budget doesn't even keep up with inflation, and he actually had a cut to the Department of Homeland Security, a $1.25 billion cut to the Department of Homeland Security when we're really being invaded at the border. And Sean, here's the deal. I believe we're $34.5 trillion in debt, and we need to have some really tough conversations when it comes to what and how we spend and how we become more fiscally responsible. So if you want to say, okay, we're cutting across the board or we're doing this, there's a conversation that we can have. You know, we may end up in like a little bit of a different spot on this, but that's not it. He's not cutting across the board. He's spending more. And on EPA, when it comes to the EPA budget, he actually increased that, Sean, by 20%. At the same time that he is not taking our homeland security serious, he's not taking our defense capabilities and protecting our warfighters serious. And it's after, you know, we know what's coming in Taiwan, in the Middle East. We see Putin's aggression, and yet he continues to make poor choices, exhibit weakness. He has a doctrine of quote don't, and every adversary we have, when he says don't, Sean, they just do.
Yeah, and Senator, it's, you know, on all these things, it seems like whether it be with Israel and a response there or Ukraine, or the Overton window isn't inching along. It's on rails. It's flying so quickly. And I don't know, you do that, you don't come out and say what you're really going to do in the end. And then so your allies don't have faith in you just as much as, like you pointed out, the enemies don't have faith in you. And then you then move it. Now we're going to move the needle and we're going to go to this and go to this. It's just like you just give it, you know, I can tell you whatever they tell me, yeah, the administration, we will never do this, or we're never going to let these people do this. By next month, that becomes a new normal.
Yeah, and Sean, listen, you're exactly right when you say, I mean, and you think about what this administration has done, too. Every world leader that I have met with, almost without exception, brings up Afghanistan in my first year in the Senate that I met with, and mm-hmm. brought up that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And obviously, all of us wanted our men and women to come home, but you want them to come home the right way. And the way that we did that sent shockwaves across the world. It really put fear in our allies in a way that they, again, as you just mentioned, don't trust us. But it emboldened our enemies. I mean, our enemies are emboldened, and then we are not doing the right things to actually exhibit peace through strength. And let me give you an example of this. So we just said, obviously, we're talking about Middle East, we're talking about Russia. I mentioned Indo-PACOM, you know, what we see with China's aggression. So militarily, you look at where we are with China. So China has, you know, however many ships they have right now versus, I think, like 385. And then by the time we get to 2030, they're going to have upwards of 430-something ships. We have 291, Sean, and we're going to go down, and then we're going to come back up to 290. And when you look at the investment in our naval fleet, or lack thereof, we know it's not just a fleet. That's munitions. That's weaponry. It's all of the things. And so You look at China building there. You look at China increasingly stealing our intellectual property, increasingly undermining our American workers. And so the economic front there. And then look at what they're doing from a social media space. I mean, this warfare from them is coming from every angle. I mean, you look at TikTok, for example, and you look at kind of sort of the way, I said this in my State of the Union response, but the Chinese Communist Party knows if they control the minds of the next generation, they control America. And if you look at what is happening with TikTok, I mean, if you're on TikTok, the first 2.6 minutes a new user is on TikTok, they are likely delivered an algorithm about suicide. The first 8 minutes, they're likely delivered an algorithm about eating disorders. And we know our kids are not on there for minutes. They're on there, I think studies showed last year, social media apps, our high schoolers were on there 4.6 hours a day. And so you look at what's happening, and then it ties back to this movement here in this nation where you have the Ayatollah saying he's standing with college kids. And do we not, let's not forget that it was just a few months ago that on TikTok, the letter to Osama bin Laden's letter to America went viral here, where you had young people saying that they were disappointed and ashamed to be Americans. I believe we live in the greatest nation on the globe. We have to work every day to make it an even better place and to create even more opportunity for people to seize. But what we're seeing is a complete just denigration of this nation under Joe Biden's leadership. And Democrats seem happy to play politics instead of putting the nuts and bolts in place to build this nation back up. And I think that is clear. That's why we need Trump back in the White House. That's why we need Republicans to take back the Senate and protect the filibuster. And that's why we've got to hold the House.
Yeah, I think as parents, both of us parents, a way we armor our children to influence from TikTok or something like that is maybe we're not doing our jobs. I don't mean like just generally not doing our jobs in building them up with the positivity, right? That they would get the letter from bin Laden and read that, because the grass is always greener on the, you know, whatever it is. But maybe, you know, our best weapon against that is to make sure these children know what a great place this is and point out examples. You know, sometimes I think we catch ourselves complaining about everything. Maybe need to take a little time for hype reel, you know, to hype the kids up about how great of a place they live. So
absolutely,
when they hear something like that,
that's
they
right.
go, yeah, that's not true, because I can see the things that are great about our country.
That's right. And instilling civic responsibility in our children, you know, every single one of us, I believe God, you know, God calls each and every one of us to a different path. But every one of those paths is incredibly important in making this nation and making the lives around us better. And so, and, you know, encouraging them, to your point, create that foundation for them about this nation, teaching them to stand for the flag and to love this country and to work diligently to make it better. And that, you know, we're just missing the indoctrination that we're seeing from our kids, whether it's some of the things we've seen in the classroom or whether it's what we're seeing on TikTok. I think we as parents have to be even more vigilant and, to your point, even more intentional about laying that foundation, because I really believe the future of this great nation depends on it.
I want to, before we wrap up here, too, I want to ask you about the situation with Vulcan Materials. Now, this is, it's interesting. You think about a Birmingham-based company, but the second I talked about it the other day, the number of people here in our neck of the woods in southwest Alabama that have business with Vulcan, and they talk about, since these troubles have started down in Mexico, how much their prices have gone up on materials for Vulcan. This is a private company, Alabama company, but they privately own this land in Mexico. And now what's happening, Senator? The Mexican government says you're going to sell it to us at this price, or what's happening?
This is yet another example of where this administration will not stand up to AMLO, to the president there in Mexico. So this, about 2 years ago, Mexico illegally invaded and shut down Vulcan's deep water port. That was the first time. And so think about, that's a private business that the government and private property, and the government invades. Then they come back. They actually did it a second time in March of 2023. So this is something I've been working diligently on for the last 18 months. You know, he came forth, AMLO, and he obviously said, okay, we'll buy it. It was an incredibly low bid and just ridiculous on its face. And what we know them to do is probably, I mean, you know, who knows what he'll do, probably seize this private property after his election, which is just completely and totally unacceptable. You know, how in the world, if you're a true leader in the White House, President Biden should be telling AMLO, I will not encourage, I will deter American businesses from investing there. I will tell them openly that their investment will not be protected, that you will see these things. We will tell this story. This is not what we expect from our partners and trade partners, and obviously with the different agreements we have. But this administration is refusing to do that. I mean, it's honestly shameful that this President AMLO would rather confiscate American assets than the fentanyl that's killing hundreds of Americans a day. And so him offering about 20% of what the property is worth to me is just it's just a complete and total joke. And unfortunately, there are real ramifications of kind of what has happened and what is happening. I mean, it includes the Port of Mobile. I mean, that aggregate, you know, from Vulcan, it uses it obviously for its important work. You'll see the impact on energy infrastructure projects across the Gulf. I mean, it is, whether it's limestone or aggregate materials, I mean, it is really affecting not just our state. And we know the Port of Mobile affects, you know, all 67 counties in Alabama. It affects the whole region, but it's also affecting so much more. And there's a lot of really important, you know, growth projects, infrastructure projects throughout the region that the cost is going up, or they're not being able to work on them in a diligent manner in the way they would like, because this is all being held up there in Mexico. And so we've got to keep fighting. We did a bipartisan letter, Senator Tuberville, myself, Senator Hagerty from Tennessee, and Senator Kane from Virginia, you know, telling AMLO, like, enough is enough, you know, and cut it out. And so I think we just continue to stand up for not only Alabama's security, but America's security and economic interest. And this is really a big deal. It should be getting more attention. No government should be invading a private property of an American company with weaponry and bringing it to a halt, all for their own personal and political gain. That's not something that we should allow to happen, and we should be speaking loudly and forcefully.
Senator Britt, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us today, and hopefully we'll get you back on soon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right, Senator Katie Britt joining us. We're coming right back.